This is The Meek Informant, your content source for Legend of the Five Rings, published by Fantasy Flight Games. Enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to The Meek Informant, your Legend of the Five Rings podcast for the meek and the uninformed. I'm Eric.
I'm Nick.
That's Nick.
I'm Adam. Howdy, howdy.
That's Adam.
Hey.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to your favorite podcast. We know it's us.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's been a couple of weeks since we've recorded. What's been going on, guys? Anything?
I'm stressing out.
Yeah. I'm freaking out. I'm losing it.
No, I think Nick and I are just trying to figure out what the heck we're doing in like 5 weeks.
Yeah, no, Worlds is coming up, it turns out, and I have no idea what to play.
Yes, you do.
I'm going back and forth different decks, and I have no idea which of them I'm going to land on.
It's entertaining for me to watch you have this like panic circling the drain moment over like which of your two fantastic decks do you play.
It's extremely difficult, let me tell you.
I played a game on Jugoku with Nick last night, and I was playing Meta Phoenix, which was left, I mean, you know, piloted by me, which I can't claim is any good at all, but that deck tends to do its own work generally when I've played it, and it did nothing at all against this horrific monstrosity that Nick has constructed using horrible powder blue cards.
You resolved two consumed by five fires against me, and I was fine. I was winning.
Totally fine. I hated it so much.
it was so good.
And so we've reached the end of the Meek Informant. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. I quit.
I've driven Eric out of the game entirely.
It's the worst. No one playing.
Hey, everybody.
Nick.
Local Hatamoto, Nick.
Yeah.
Driving people out of the hobby.
Yeah.
Speaking of the hobby, isn't there like a Kickstarter for like doing hobby L5R stuff?
There is. Yeah, RokuCon. It is currently, as we record, it is Monday night. But RokuCon is up until Friday at 5:15 p.m. Eastern. So go support them, because that looks awesome. And I'd like to have a convention to go to.
Yeah, they need a final push. So go throw your dollars at it.
It's on Kickstarter, right?
It's on Kickstarter.
Yeah, on Kickstarter. If you search for RokuCon Kickstarter, it'll come up. And also, I'm sure we can put it in the show notes.
Indeed.
I'm going to make a note to do that.
But, good call.
Yeah, because I never remember to do show notes.
Good.
Yes, they are currently at about just under 50%, which is quite good considering how small this community is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're, you know, independently wealthy and want to make a lot of people happy, go throw all that money at it.
That's right.
Yeah. But we do have some local events, because that is like central Michigan, I want to say. That'd be a bit of a haul from here. And in the New England area, everybody is apparently getting ready for Worlds. So there are a couple of events. One of them, we've got so there's basically two different types of events coming up in October. The 12th at Battlegrounds Games and Hobbies in Saugus.
Battlegrounds?
Baby ground. Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
and the 19th, so they're both Saturdays, October 12th and October 19th. One at Battlegrounds Games and Hobbies in Saugus on the 12th, and Turn 4 Hobby Town in West Boylston on the 19th. They're doing all-day grinders. Basically, show up. You can change your deck in the middle. You're just going to try to get in as many games as you can against as many other meta decks as you can. You know, you can make changes on the fly. There's no like tournament rewards or anything like that. Just just trying to work out the kinks in your decks. And then if you prefer a more structured environment, on the October 13th, so the day after the Battlegrounds event, Midgard is doing its Crane event. So Uji, Matt, and Festival of the Fortunes? Yeah, critical cards. They're doing it with the world's meta. So you can proxy in cards from up to pack five and the lion pack if they're not out yet by then. And then Game Nights in Gardner, Massachusetts is doing the same type of tournament on the 26th, although I don't know what the pack prize they're using is. So yeah, like almost every weekend in October, there is one or sometimes two cool events where you can get practice in for Worlds or help other people get practice in for Worlds. So come out. It should be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick, if you go and play against people, you'll actually thin the deck, thin the meta, you know, ahead of time because everyone's going to quit that you play against. So then you just...
Exactly.
They won't be there to fight to play against. All right, this is a great joke.
Yep.
Speaking of Midgard and the tournament you were talking about, now is a great time to thank our sponsors and patrons. Midgard Comics and Games is a sponsor of the show. They are in Derry, New Hampshire, local game store. Go check them out. We play there every Tuesday and sometimes Thursdays. There's RPGs, but you know, the LCG and other games, you know, they're great. And Luxury Playstyle is another wonderful supporter of the show. If you are into fancy metal tokens, go buy them from luxplay.com. Use Lux Informant for 15% off those fancy tokens. They're very nice.
Excellent.
And thanks to our patrons for supporting the show. You guys and girls are great. We love you. We wish you would multiply more people.
Please do.
Yeah, and if you're not a patron, the way to multiply the patron numbers is to go to, what is it, patreon.com/meekinformant?
Yeah.
patreon.com/meekinformant. Back us at any level. We still have some $5 sneak-in early bird super informant levels that you get your clan backers with the Meek Informant logos that we had printed in your clan color of choice.
It's the only way to get them.
Yeah.
It's the only way.
All right. That's all the spiel. Everyone can stop fast forwarding now. So we had some news recently, some big news that got me all excited and hot and bothered to play again. Not that I wasn't before. It's kind of creeping back into the game, but mm-hmm. It's always fun to get in when a new restricted list is updated, a new ROG, I should say, because it's not just a restricted list that changed. We had a few cards got eroded, and most importantly, the word two was defined.
Extremely important. Not the number, but the preposition. Is that a preposition? I don't know.
Oh no!
You're a lawyer. You should know English better than all of us.
Nah.
I think that two is a yes. You go to a place, right? So it is a preposition. Oh god! If I'm wrong about this, it's gonna haunt me forever. No, it is. There's did you know that there's a preposition song sang to the tune of Yankee Doodle above a cross after at
does it involve a knight and master like you know with 20 swords? Getting knocked down and getting back up again.
That's the
Chumbawungas.
Chumbawungas. Anyway, there was a new restricted list, and most importantly, besides the word two being defined, which I actually really want to go find that. The word two. Can I find the word two?
Defined? Well, while you do that, we can talk about the knee master.
Okay.
He is no longer on the restricted list. He has been returned back to the great land of Rokugan. And he can like use swords and stuff now again and not be like kicked to the curb.
I have rebuilt a dragon deck because of that, and it's mucho bueno.
the first game I went to on Jigoku today that had Dragon playing had one of these characters in play. So
I watched Eric play like three or four games, maybe three, with that new Dragon deck, and every single time he got Neaton Master on the first turn. It was
first turn.
It was kind of gross.
It was amazing. It was I hard mulled all my cards for him because I just wanted him to see him so bad, and there he was every time. And then like two of his buddies shot up like the next turn. I was like, I don't have enough swords for you guys. I'm all out of swords. I gave them all away.
Dancing swords.
Yeah. The word
that,
two
adopted kin.
Yes, I fire roll. Come on now. Ultimate dragon jank. The word two, Nick and Adam.
Okay.
If the effect text of a if the effect text of a card ability contains a sentence that includes the word two, then the text that follows the word two can only be resolved if the preceding text was successfully resolved in full. So it's like saying it's a dash. Yeah, it's like a dash.
Yeah, wow. I guess so.
If the pre-two aspect of an effect successfully resolves in full. Oh my god. All right, sorry. I won't.
Wow. Yeah, let's stop reading this. I can see our subscribers.
Yeah, everyone's like, okay, that's it. I quit.
We're out.
Worst. Preposition.
Time to continue.
Yeah. So other cards that came off of the restricted list include Feast or Famine. But
did it come off looking the same?
No, it got mangled on the way out.
Shredder.
Yeah, so it got a rod.
But nobody can use this card, right?
No one can use it because there's no fire rolls selected currently. But now the extra special won't want it because it's not as good. So Feast or Famine before the pre-errata said that, you know, when the province is broken, you chose an opponent's character and you moved each fate from that character to a character you control with no fate. And now they changed it to say when the province is broken, choose an opponent's character and move one fate from that character to a character you control. So you lose the restriction of having no fate for your target of the receiver of the fate, but you can only move one. And it's still fireball only. So I don't know. Is that even worth it?
I mean, when we go for fire rolls as scorpions, we can play that in Alluring Patron. I have no idea.
Like your four drop conflict character too.
Yeah. Yes. I'm joking.
Yeah.
I don't know that card.
I don't know. It's a pretty nobody knows what it is. it's a pretty strong effect. Still it's definitely not RL worthy anymore. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if anybody ends up taking it. I feel like if they do, it's for something else. Like I could see Unicorn with Seeker of Fire. So they have this and Khonzordu and Jin all in the same deck. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, that's some gas. I mean, that's like just get free gas, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't want to defend anything anyway, so.
Yeah, because it can be out of, I think the new wording is out of conflict, right? It does not out, but it can be anywhere.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be on zero fate. It can just be anybody, anywhere.
That seems good.
So you charge out your Chagatai and then you feast or famine of fate off of it.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Okay. Okay, so that's the stuff that's coming off the list. Then a whole bunch of stuff got put on the list, including the Mia Satoshi and Gateway Tomato Power combo.
Sorry about that, Crab.
Yeah, Crab's dead.
Yeah, poor Crab.
In the poor hurt.
Dead can never die.
Daidouji Uji got added. Much to the chagrin of people who like Daidouji Uji.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Yeah, people kind of shrugged at it.
I mean, like, it's a strong card.
I was listening to a certain other podcast, and Tyler's reasoning for these cards in particular is that they don't have an answer really. Like Uji, once he comes out, you've either got Cloud or you are Scorpion, or Uji's on forever and I'm gonna bury you in money.
Yeah,
so like
hold on, a certain other podcast, I don't think we need to to skirt. Who was all right. it?
It was Art of Warcast. They had Tyler on for an interview the day the RL came out. It's very enlightening. But like by his metrics that he, you know, was looking at, which was, is this impossible to answer if it comes down? Or like, is it something you must answer immediately? And if you don't, you lose the game. You know, I think Uji kind of fits into that. It's extremely difficult for a lot of clans to answer. And it just does something that if it goes unanswered, does 100% swing the game in your favor.
Yeah, he's strong.
Speaking of giant game swings, the next card that they added is Consumed by Five Fires, which, spend five fate, clear the opponent's board. Pretty good.
More or less. Yeah.
Especially with Embrace the Void, when you could get it for free or nearly free by getting all that money back.
Yeah, so they've just continued to pummel on the Phoenix combo there. They thought it was enough to just to restrict the Embrace the Void piece of that combo, so you couldn't have the free money consumed by Five Fires and Tadaka. Was he the only other choice for Phoenix?
I mean, you could take Secluded Shrine. Is that the
one?
Oh,
but that was
the one that gives you a ring.
For... Yeah, it was just to work around the errata that they did for him, right? They only put it on the list because it broke, like, the Earth Ring errata for Tadaka. It gets around it.
Right? Got it. Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Sawa Tadaka.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing else on the list right now that I can see being like a huge.
Well, charge for Charge Bird, but
I'm
Charge
so
Bird's
surprised.
Kind of.
Oh yeah, Charge. Right, Charge Bird. I'm surprised that Young Rumormonger managed to stay on the list since they're like taking a few things off. That one has always, everyone sort of scratched their heads over that one for the longest time.
And he's on there because he makes a ton of rules questions.
People's brains hurt, yeah.
Oh, okay. But we made a card too hard.
Basically, yes. They reprinted him. Yeah. Shameless gossip is what he does, only
not confusing.
Not annoying.
Okay.
She's still annoying, just not confusing.
Right.
I didn't
but
know
she
doesn't, it was...
like make you ask questions about Mark of Shame and like if the first one goes on to somebody else, does that still work? What if I'm redirecting a cost or whatever? Like
is
it's
this,
just yeah.
This is what people who don't know the rules sound like, Nick, to you?
That's what I sound like. I don't know how Young Rumormonger.
You can't even card. Say it.
Exactly. He's totally defeated me. I don't know how he works fully. I don't understand it. So there's something about it just messes with thens.
They just buried it in the closet. The closet of the restricted list.
Good riddance.
All right. So consumed, you know, as a newly adopted Phoenix player, this one hurts me. That's rough.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, Phoenix has been on the top of the meta for a while, or close hovering on the top anyway, so make the game more interesting and have more clans have a shot at things. That's okay. I'm cool with that. Speaking of which, my favorite addition to this list, and I think pretty much everybody's favorite addition to this list, besides Scorpion players, is that Cunning Magistrate is now on the RL. Just say it with me. Cunning Magistrate is restricted.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to be seeing too much of him because the other cards are like very necessary. Really?
I think
more than like Fate Worse than Death and or Forged Edict.
I don't know about that yet, but like I think there is a case where he still does the right thing against the powerhouse bad matchups for Scorpion.
So
right?
Okay.
Like Unicorn right now is pretty rough for us. Lion, I think, is going to be. Crane is not necessarily the best with him, but he still does do some annoyances in the right situation with like Mark of Shame. Like while we have the air roll, I think it's kind of nice.
Yeah, he's definitely better there.
I think that card really fits into the no answers category that you're talking about.
I don't
know. Oh my god, yes.
How many clans play things that can honor their own people? I mean, like, I'm spoiled because I'm Crane, but...
Yeah, it's just Crane.
Exactly. It's like Crane and, like, court games.
And, I mean, this argument has been made 100 times, probably.
Cloud. I guess you're saying you can cloud them, but that's, like, not everyone runs that, so...
But the fact that Scorpion is just like super dishonor happy, and then from my hand comes this. Everyone's shut off. Like,
so I mean, I haven't tested it, but I still think that there's with the new unspoken etiquette. I think I mentioned it to you guys before. I think you could run that with him and still get some nice, like, just turn off an entire conflict for your opponent,
because like,
he doesn't care if he's dishonored. So it's like. It works.
Well, that's true. It does dishonor him too, huh? Because he's not a warrior.
Only if he's in the conflict first.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you just play it in the right order and you're fine. Right. But still,
right. And so, like, in the end, that's still like a 2 fate plus whatever you put on him. So it's expensive to play that. But like,
oh yeah,
that's what I mean. It's sort of like the same. It's the answer to a wide board, whereas a Fate Worse Than Death is the answer to like a tall board.
All right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a meta call. I think you could argue. The nice thing was when we could run both, it was we could do both. Now we can't. So
not so much. Yeah.
No. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So that's the new restricted list. Not usually the podcast of choice for news updates and strategy, but we're trying to do it now because. We're sort of out of new beginner topics, so.
Well, plus I think it's like, you know, things change. What's our take on it?
Yeah, this is basically the way that I'm going to be able to stay up to date with the game is by being forced to talk about it. So.
Good.
By some.
At least we're providing a single public service to one person.
To the host of this podcast, not the host, the one of the hosts. I'm sorry.
If you wanted to find what the latest restricted list was or is. There's now a new imperial decree or royal decree.
Imperial law.
Imperial law.
Imperial law? There we go. That's what it's called.
It's in the show notes. Here, I'll make it bigger.
It's got what the rules are. It's got any restricted cards, any errata, all on a single page. It can be double-sided printed. Yay.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
No, it is. It's really cool.
I didn't actually know about this until you guys mentioned it earlier today. Despite having like skimmed these news articles that FFG puts out, it's really easy to be like, all right, pictures, pictures, pictures. Where are the links? Okay, there's the URL. And then you know. So.
Well, it was in like the second sentence in italics, totally like hidden with all the other links they put in the first 3 sentences. So
right before the rules reference guide, which is what I was shooting
that's
for.
It's like, let's link Legend of the Five Rings card game. Wait, but that's literally how I got here. It's like it auto URL'd the game that it was newsing about.
Yeah, so that's a cool little reference. And the article that they discuss this in is titled The Royal Decree, if you haven't caught it. So we thought we'd kind of go over for the sake of people who've been out of the game or a little bit or don't know what to make of what all these changes to the new restricted list are going to have, how they're going to affect the environment or the meta. We thought we'd go over what kind of decks you might expect to see in the near future. Maybe if you're going to Worlds, you probably already know this because, you know, you're going to Worlds, and you've gotten an invite this year because you're super fancy, or you're just going to go grind at the invite like some people. Cough, cough.
Hey, where are you going to be the first week of November?
I'll be at home.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing real cool home things. Am I going to? That's a good question.
You should come out. We got a space. There's a slot. Oh.
No problem. Let me just take that time off.
Take a week off.
But I will be sneaking away to try and watch an occasional game on Twitch. Let's go over these clan things. Who wants to start with what?
I mean, Nick, local Hatamoto, can hook us up. If he's...
Oh, he's probably on silent. Nick.
Oh.
No wonder it's been so awkwardly silent. There he is. I bet he's been screaming like, but Crane, let's do Crane first.
No, I wanted to start with Crab, because Crab are alphabetically the first and the easiest to sum up. Crab's decks all got wrecked by the restricted list. I have no idea what they're going to play. There's like a Keeper of Air kill deck thing that is extremely expensive and doesn't really do that much.
It's rough to have things die with that Warden of the Damned. That's not a fun card for
that is opponent. True.
Crab just goes for like punch, wait till I get my big characters like they always did, but has less control at this point.
Well, right, but remember how they used to win though, right? Was they would draw a bunch of cards with their spyglasses, get their guy into multiple conflicts with like Fight On, and wear you down because you couldn't play cards because of Watch Commander, because of it being in like every conflict.
Also, they Mia Satoshi'd to fill all their discard piles so they could rebuild everything.
Yep.
Which now
and
they
get
can't
keepers
do.
And stuff like that. And like, yeah. So the pieces that they have left are throwing a big guy in front of you and Watch Commander. But like they can't bid low because they can't draw the cards to make up the difference. So
what is their restricted card at this point, you think? Is it rebuild or is it?
I have no idea. I think there's a halfway decent argument for charge. They've got a lot of red numbers and ways to keep people around. So if they cheat them into play, they can get some value out of that. I have seen deck lists with like Miramoto's Fury in them, but like.
Really?
I legitimately have no idea what Crab are going to play.
For new stuff, so this is like, you know, as far as the current legal stuff for Worlds, I'm not totally up in the line stuff, so I'm not going to reference that right off the bat right now, but their new Fortified Assembly, like, do you think that's something we would see?
I
think it's interesting.
Yes.
What is that card?
It's anytime after an attack is declared, you place an honor on the province, and it can't be stronghold. The province gets plus 2 strength for each honor token on it. So it's like if you don't break it, it just gets harder and harder to break.
Oh, that thing. Yeah. Starts but, 3 strength. Okay.
So, like, here's the thing. It can't but be. You just, yeah, well, you just go anywhere else.
It's a 5 right off the bat, though.
It's a 5 if you don't break it.
No. It's a 5 the first time.
Yeah. Because you
when
react
it,
oh,
when it's
the,
declared.
The first attack puts 1 on there. Yeah. Got it.
But like, then I'm just going to avoid it unless you're talismaning me into it, in which case you've just talismaned me into a 5 strength blank province because it doesn't get to trigger when talisman moves over. So, neat.
Yeah. I did hear like the idea that you could use it to talisman over there, like the end of it. Like, I think it's like the I'm going to last forever crab and just block. Kind of game. I don't know what the win condition is there, except you don't die. Like, you can talisman over there when they're on your stronghold, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the win con is that you just, like, well, if you have, I guess if you have rebuilds and iron mines in spot in place that you are at, and reprieves, right? You just, like, stay alive forever and kill them before they kill you because you can't be killed.
I'm actually asking, like, I'm not saying this is going to happen. Like, I don't want anyone to be like, I know this card people are going to play. I'm just saying, like, for me, I wanted to say that this discussion is more about, like, these are things that I don't know that I'm going to see, and I feel like I wouldn't be surprised. The topics should be, like, I wouldn't be surprised if I saw this, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's a card. I know what that does, but I don't know how I, like, what the breadcrumb trail is for my opponent that they're going to play that, like, why that card was chosen in their deck. You know, like, at Worlds, I feel like people are going to play decks that their card selection is, like, for purpose. They're not just throwing out random stuff, so... Like, if I saw this, if I saw this across me, I'd go, okay, like, I have to now figure out what's the real game here? Is there something else going on? You know what I mean? Like, if I can crab, you're probably right. You could see almost anything and kind of second guess what's going on or, like, ponder for a moment.
Do crab have any kind of swarm tech that they can take advantage of their
Zerker,
labs
sort
and stuff?
Of. So they have two kind of swarmy things that they can rely on. One of them is Kuni Labs, which gives +1 to every...
That's what I was getting at.
And then there's also a Kuni Yori, who during Earth conflicts gives +1/+1 to everybody. And the Stronghold is kind of a defensive swarmy thing, which is hard to make work, but because it gives +1/+1 to every defender.
But so, I don't know. I'm just wondering about efficient. But now with Unfulfilled Destiny, is that it?
But they don't have an Earth roll, so they can't use it.
Oh, okay. That was the problem. It's Unfulfilled roll. Duty is the card.
Yeah, they have Seeker of Void and Keeper of Air, so they can't touch it.
What's the bad lion version of this? Regal?
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. But I don't think it's out yet.
No, not Regal Bearing. Yeah, there's something Regal coming Bearing's in the line good. Pack that's a, like a 3-cost stand a bunch of guys.
So where is... Yep. Didn't they post all of the lion stuff you guys said? Where do I find that?
Yeah. I'll find it. Hold on.
Because like... I feel like there's probably some stuff that I'm like I've listened or seen a few, but I don't really have them enumerated to just scroll through.
That one would be nice to have on tap because I haven't internalized all the. I've only played one game against some of the new line cards.
It's like you and I were saying, I think last time, right? Like spoilers are hard because like unless you have them in your hand or you see them, like you really have no context.
It really takes me playing a game against a card before flipping through a pack, I'll see it and I'll go, okay, that's interesting. And then someone will like play the card against me and I'll go, oh, I understand now why that's so terrible. Or,
yeah.
Now I'm dead.
That's, ID order. Let's see. Okay.
I don't know. I was just thinking if there was some kind of like crab could switch to a swarmy thing and use Kuni Labs to get a big old army of undead, and
that card you were thinking of, Right Hand of the Emperor, is unsplashable.
Yeah. Oh, it's a that's a line only. No,
yeah, no influence.
No influence, and it's got a green horse on it. It would be perfect for unicorn, not green, but horse.
I gotcha.
Anyway, all right. So crab's dead. They dead.
Sorry, crab.
Sorry, I hated you, crab. Anyway, so it's fine.
Harsh.
You're my mortal enemy. I mean, you know, Hida Kasada's the freaking worst.
Because they did everything Dragon did, but better.
Yeah, they were my mortal enemy, and now I don't care. So speaking of Dragon, with the revival of Neaton Master, they have basically the same deck that they played like a year or two ago forever. Test Monk deck. So that's back. It's got Neaton Master. It's got the sharpened Tsuriachi. Tsuruhachi.
Tsuruhachi.
I did it. I can read.
On the second try.
Shout out to my boy Shay, who also can read. my boy. that's back in various incarnations. And let me tell you, Neaton Master is a lot of fun. Except for when he gets dishonored. And there are also still Daisho decks, which now have 300% more Neaton Master to do stuff with. So that's kind of...
I don't know. If you have the Daisho on Neaton Master, though, like, you can't... Like, what other weapons can you attach? It's just sharpened Tsuruhachi, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's sharpened and Daisho... And
because if you play like a sword on him, it falls off because of the Daisho.
Right. It's the restricted card. It can't be on there, right? So that's Pathfinder's Blade as your restricted card, and then you have 6 unrestricted weapons to stand your guy. I don't know, is that terrible? Probably.
I have no idea.
Ah, that's interesting.
We'll have to ask Dave about it.
Can you run that tomorrow?
I don't want to build another deck. Test is good and comfy. It's like a warm set of old slippers that you just put made of bunks.
Yeah, wow. Like it is weird though. I think about, again, my perspective. I'm like, oh, what if I see dragons? I was expecting to just see the Dice Show deck, and now it's like I probably will see a variety, which is good for like Dragon, having some variety that could be better than they have been.
It's less horribly sad to play Dragon.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
Yeah, you can like do things.
Yep.
It's also tough because like matchups, that matchup is something we've all had out of experience. We haven't seen it forever, so we need to like face it.
Right. Yeah, I was last week at Locals, Nick and I played a game, you know, Crane versus Dragon, and we both commented at separate points throughout the game. It was like, this feels like L5R again. Like, it feels like this matchup is, anyway, we played it enough together.
Yeah.
That it felt like a little bit nostalgic. Good old this matchup.
Yeah. That part where your opponent plays their second card and then you gossip the Void Fist.
Oh, I hated that so much.
So much.
You never had that.
I did. You played the Seal of the Dragon. I was like, cool, gossip Void Fist.
No, but when Tess was real before, gossip didn't exist.
It was a thing for a while. Anyway.
Oh, my God. That was just the worst, though.
Fair.
Throwing down. I was like, all right, here we go. I'm going to Void Fist. And he's like, oh, it's just, I hear someone's been talking about Void Fists.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
And then I don't understand thematically what happens with like gossip. Is that like the dragon's like, no, I didn't.
I heard it was coming, so I'm totally prepared for it. And you like go to Void Fist and we're like, Void Fist, that's so last season. And you get laughed at and you don't do it.
Right. So we're just kind of embarrassed.
Crane.
It doesn't make any sense. It would be dishonorable because I knew it was coming.
Exactly.
All right. So that's about, I don't know, that's my summary for Dragon. You guys got any other fancy dragon things?
Nope. I think that's about it.
Unicorn?
Fro put out a video.
Fro is redefining and shaping Unicorn.
Yep. And it turns out pacifism is like pretty good when you don't care about political conflicts.
All right. So here's what I don't understand. Everybody's talking about pacifism. And like, you know, this is what I'm talking about, that Fro is just like, okay, here's a card that's been around forever. Now everyone use it. And everyone does. And I don't... What's changed?
So the meta has gone a little bit away from, because Crab is no longer like a huge problem, right? They got kind of gutted. The other kind of top decks for a long time were Phoenix and Scorpion, which don't use a ton of attachments. People have moved away from attachment hate being like a central thing that you're 100% going to go for. And that means that pacifism has more opportunities to just lock out their biggest dude if they don't draw it.
For those of us who are uninitiated with pacifism, because it's a card that most people didn't play a whole lot of before, it's a 2-cost attachment, +0/+0. This attachment cannot be played during a conflict, so you got to pre-play it. Attached character cannot participate in military conflicts. A peaceful environment leads to a peaceful mind.
I would not have gotten that if that had been part of the quiz.
No, we should do that again. That's fun.
Yeah,
I'll pull some up for Adam at the end. We can quiz Adam on flavor text. All right, continue to edumacate me.
So the basic idea is you're Unicorn. You don't care about blue numbers literally at all. You're going to throw pacifism on like Kakita Toshimoko and Kakita Kaizen and Kita Kasada and like anybody else who you think you're going to have trouble getting over or around. And they're just going to sit by the wayside while you rampage through their provinces because they can't do anything about it.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Yeah. And then they also got the Earth roll. So that gives them access to pacifism, kind of comes with Earth Becomes Sky. Again, just saying no to their biggest dude. You can play it in regroup. So when they try to stand their guy during regroup, you just sit them right back down. And then they got a bunch of like swarmy stuff now with Shinjo Gunso and a couple of cards like that and Unfulfilled Duty, which we were just talking about, which is a 2-cost ready up to 6-cost worth of Bushi characters without fate on them, or could just be characters without fate on them. Might not have the Bushi tag, but
It is non-unique characters, I think.
No, non-unique is Ujik Tactics, which is the other one.
Oh.
It just gives
plus one to every
non-unique participating character you have, +1 military. So it's like the Lion Box for non-uniques.
Unfulfilled duty says choose any number of characters with no fate that have a total printed cost of 6 or lower and ready each of those characters.
Yeah. So it's like a little mini cav reserves sometimes. And then you can also run cav reserves. Even easier because Shinjo Gunso now fills your discard pile. It's pretty great.
Yeah. This is why I think Unicorn's going to be super annoying.
Yep. Yeah, it's fun. It's fast. It's extremely Unicorn. All red numbers all the way.
Red. All red all the time.
Yep.
Is this the only Unicorn deck that is popular these days? I don't think that is true, yes?
That's definitely not true. So I know there's a bunch of stuff. People are playing like Lekkos and things like that to keep like Crane Towers under control, because if you can get bigger than Toshimoko, you don't need to worry about him when it comes to his duel slowing you down. So there's a lot of that. I haven't seen any like competitive Shiro Shinjo decks. The HMT decks just seem to be fast enough that they do the things Unicorn wants to do, but better. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think we are seeing too much on the horizon from Unicorn that isn't something like either what they were doing before, maybe with like Lekko or Tattooed Wanderer to keep people out of fights. But same basic idea, right? As Pacifism and Earth Become Sky, is keep the people you don't want in the fight out of it.
Yeah. Cool. So a couple of new little things happening in Unicorn, and otherwise same old chargey smash with Chagatai.
Yep. Deck. Mull for Chagatai. Mull for charge. See what happens.
Yeah. Lion, though. I have written here, whoa, Lion Pack Scaly.
Yeah, I have literally no idea what Lion ends up doing after the pack. But I know it terrifies me. Like, there aren't any cards in the pack where I'm like, that's a dud. Just right off the bat. There's no, like in the Crane pack, we got Festival for the Fortunes. Like, a card that you look at it and you're like, oh, immediately, that's a meme.
Well, for Honor Runners, it's a blessing.
No, it's not.
No?
Nah, that card's pretty bad even in Honor Runners. There's, like, one Honor Runner deck that makes it useful, but it's a bad deck, so Pony Party forever.
Crane, and you're always honored anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the Lion Pack, it is strunk, I believe is what the kids say these days.
Yep. Lion strunk.
I have one game under my belt against a deck that is running these cards, so super limited. Well, one game and one, like, I give up, let's reset because you're winning too hard. So, you know, very small sample set. But Lion feels very different.
Yeah.
They're like, buying characters and putting fate on them. Like,
yep. More and then, than like, they just one. Stick around doing things and kill you with them.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
The new Matsu Tsuko, she's a jerk now. She's, like, just mean.
Yeah, she just breaks all your stuff.
Oh, I suppose we should try and whatever. I can summarize that she doesn't need to actually break a province anymore is the thing. Right. She just needs to win the conflict and then she breaks, as long as it's non-stronghold. Not the old Matsu Tsuko five rings DB.
Wow. Yeah, she's insane. And she has champion now, which is interesting.
Yes, that has lore implications, right? Like, she might be the...
Yeah, so in the story, Totori is kind of half dead, barely saved, and Tsuko now has the champion trait, which kind of tells you that maybe Totori is presumed dead. Maybe he definitely disappeared from the Imperial City. Maybe he's going to get outcast or something like that, to where he's no longer the champion of the Lion Clan, something like that. But it looks like Tsuko is going to end up in charge.
In charge? Was that a pun?
Wow. I didn't even think of that.
I don't know.
But like, it's also possible that she just thinks she's the champion and is incorrect. Like a certain misguided young doji guy who thinks he's the rightful champion in the crane, but is entirely wrong. But somehow got the champion trade out of it anyway.
Wow, you got opinions.
Yeah, I do.
I think we discussed this last time, didn't we?
Well, it's not opinions when you're right. That's the thing. It's just fact.
Spoken like a true crane. Matsu Tsuko, the new one, by the way, is a 5-cost, 5-4, 3-glory, Bushi champion commander. Reaction after this character wins a conflict as the attacker against a non-stronghold province. If you are more honorable than your opponent, which is important, break the attacked province.
Yep.
So...
she's a beast.
The more honorable thing, like the new box starts at 13 honor.
Yeah, so good luck getting over them.
What is the new box called?
Cute Nakoma.
Thank you. I should have remembered that one. So they start at 13, and I think, and this could be totally misguided, so grain of salt, everybody, but I think that the new Matsu Tsuko, sorry, plus Cute Nakoma may be the reason that people stop bidding five like all the time against, at least against Lion. Because I don't know, like if you have to just take it and she's going to come in and break a billion provinces, and or you could like, I don't know, one bid.
So think of it this way. Okay. What Tsuko is doing is saying when you win a province, increase your army's score by the province strength. So that's like 3 to 4 for the vast majority of provinces, right? How many cards is 3 to 4 skill worth? 1 to 1.5.
Roughly one, yeah, okay.
So how much less are you going to bid to prevent that effect from going off?
I feel like you can't reduce these things down to this kind of simplicity. Like you can't, this game's
or
too complex to say
you,
like this.
And that's how you should do it.
This is how cards are, I feel like, constantly assessed.
Yeah. You can't look at it like I would much rather draw five, prevent Tsuko from activating by drawing two cards.
Like, because they probably still break now and you're now really done.
Exactly. Yeah.
So your strategy is let them break and just break back?
Mm-hmm. That's part of it. My strategy is to play weird nonsense and then become more honorable than them, but you know, we'll see.
That's
if
true.
That works.
You have an out. You have an out in that clan. That,
yeah.
That weird silvery haired clan.
So when is this supposed to be out? Does anybody know?
We have no
before
idea.
Before
worlds in time to be
That's
legal.
The worst. I'm still annoyed about that. Not because of like anything FFG did, but it's just like, if you don't have people playing this stuff, like it just doesn't, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's like Worlds is going to be like the release tournament for the Lion pack. It's going to be a whole new meta and it's going to be super weird, but
like, I get it, but I don't at the same time. Right.
Yeah.
It's just going to make it so the people who are willing to do this, like print out like proxy stuff and all this, like, I'm not that type of person, you know? I don't know. It's weird.
Well, you should be.
Yeah, no, you just got to go to Midgard and play against James.
Yeah.
He's a print out the proxy type person.
And that's a perfect example. Like, I'm lucky that we have people like James, but what I'm saying is other people don't. Other people aren't willing to do that. Other people don't have Lion players, you know? I don't know. It just feels a little off. And I appreciate what they're trying to do for the Lion players, so like I get that. And it's really not, it's out of FFG's hands at this point. Well, out of their hands in the sense that they're trying to make sure people aren't totally up in arms. But it just sucks.
The thing that the way I think about it is the biggest test bed isn't like most people aren't getting most of their games on casual nights or things like that, or even at like local tournaments. It's on Jigoku. And Jigoku is not going to have the Lion pack ready because Jigoku is run by a bunch of people who are saints, but it's all volunteer, you know? Yeah. It took them like a month to put up Pack 3, but like Pack 3 did some weird stuff. This like Suco and it, like, you know, there's a lot of like weird, like framework-y kind of changes that they're going to make the Lion Pack work.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing, I mean, it's going to take a bit for them to do. And I don't think it would be ready before Worlds, even if the pack had come out, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. So like that to me is like the biggest thing is Jigoku's the test bed and it's not going to get used because they just can't keep up. Like this is, yeah. It's awesome to get all these cards, but it is, I feel for Jidiel and everybody over there who it's got to be like pulling their hair out on this.
Yeah. And I also appreciate the people that do have the time to bang out a bunch of these games and just nonstop grind. Like they deserve to have the knowledge and experience. I'm not trying to take away that because like I think that this game definitely rewards those people who have the time to commit to it. It just is okay. I feel like it's always been okay in this game to have that when everyone had access to it at the same time, and right now it just seems like everyone doesn't have access to it at the same time. So that's the only kind of like split that I feel.
And I think that's a big reason why they put all these cards out early so people could see what they are officially without having to use some less official sources.
Like I said, they're doing what they can, right? Like I appreciate it. Like it's just they're between a rock and a hard place literally on this one.
Yeah, for sure.
Literally?
Yeah, I mean
literally
they are.
There's
literal
stuff. Yeah. There's rocks.
Yeah, they either release the pack or they will get hit by rocks. I think that's how it works.
You're going to be stoned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other kind of standout things besides, you know, we mentioned was Matsusuko and Kyuu Nakoma, but there's obviously other.
The strongest cards. Card in the pack, far and away, is called Kitsu Matsu. It's a 3-cost, 3 military, 3 political, 2 glory. Action. While this character is participating in a conflict, if you have fewer cards in hand than your opponent, choose a character controlled by the opponent and move them into the conflict. So he's got a harpoon printed on him. 3-3. And like, he's just like Doji Challenger, but yellow.
And a commander.
That's amazing. Yeah, he's a commander too, which is big for cards like Tactical Ingenuity and Prepare for War. Like, I'm going to
Hold on. Far and away though. What's the card? Like, play this card and set your dial to 1 and take the difference and draw that many cards.
That's in the cycle. Regal Bearing.
Oh, okay.
So that's Regal not Bearing. In the Lion Pack.
Well, okay, but that is the worst too.
I think that card's okay.
That you think that's okay. Everybody bids 5 and then they go, "Oh, free 4 cards. Pfft, no problem." And yep. Then I'll do it again. And then again. No?
Yeah, I think it's okay.
Wow.
I
disagree. I think it's great.
I come from the perspective of a Crane player. Crane have a lot more courtiers, so I feel like it's pretty easy to trigger naturally in Crane, and it just drawing cards is good. But I don't know. I was up in the air on it, and it didn't justify the Lion Splash on its own. So maybe that's my perspective as a Crane player, where I'm like, this is like 9 influence if I want to run 3 of these things, and I get nothing else.
They don't pay influence for it.
Yeah. It might be different in line. I don't know. This is just
I was going to say that the thing that I've been noticing between the cards you just described and like what Crane's been doing and the fact that dueling is kind of annoying in general, I found that favorable ground or any movement effects are like strong.
Right? Oh, they're huge. Yeah.
And like I feel like for a while it kind of fell out of like the norm, but now I just think that they're necessary. And so, I mean, favorable ground is the only one that I really have access to easily.
Yep.
Scorpion.
Should import some hawk tattoos.
Well, but that's kind of the opposite. A lot of times I want to get out of there.
Yeah. Yes, it's very stubborn hawk. It's like, no, the other way.
Yeah. What do you think about this, those who serve? That's the conflict card that during dynasty phase reduce the cost to play each character you play this phase by 1. Like who plays that?
That's janky.
Nobody. Nobody right now.
It's for like,
I don't know, it's janky.
It's 0 and 1 cost swarm stuff. You have to like,
it's very janky.
Like, you have to have a ton of one costers and be able to play like 6 of them in your dynasty phase.
Right.
If it didn't say the dynasty phase restriction, then I'm just regurgitating at this point from the Jade Throne, but that point is very relevant that like you can't even Hidden Moon Dojo to take advantage right. of this.
Yeah, or Uji, yeah, or like, I guess anything like that.
The Toshi Rambo people, Scorpion. Like I was just thinking about that. Like if you have Toshi Rambo and you have this
3 costers for 1.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like maybe that does fall into the jank zone. I was more of reading that. I'm like, I didn't realize it cost 1, so it would have been nice if it didn't.
Yeah,
it would have been 1, busted.
You're losing passing fate. Like there's a lot of hidden costs with that.
Yeah, the fact it cost 1, I clicked it and it was like, oh, it's not as good as red.
And then you can't gossip, and then you can't limited cards. I don't know.
Oh, it's limited too.
It is. So like you play that and it screws up gossip. Right, so
yeah, I'm definitely never playing it.
Each round. Oh yeah, limited is actually pretty like harsh, but there's
what's
like,
the saying? You
them.
Can play
yeah,
it and it turns off one page. Let me go look just look. Is there a way to just see all limited cards?
Yeah. Trait.
Yeah, and so Bushy Builder. I believe right now it's Adorned Barcha, Gossip, Doom Shigenja,
Blade of 10,000 Battles.
Yep.
Yep. No, Dispatch is in the
Doom Shugenja. Oh God. Man, turns out Dispatch. The Doom Shugenja. There we go.
That's it. Yeah, you can't
Meta Dragon here comes
and get
turn
your
off
zero them. Fate 3/3. So,
repeat that joke. I couldn't hear any of it.
I said that's what kills it is that you can't play Those Who Serve, and then get a zero fate 3/3.
Is that my
so makes it bad
for 1 round? Yeah.
I bet it
turns zero.
Off,
it's
turns
not
off
zero.
5 cards, guys. That seems like it's worth it.
You were just talking about how movement is so strong, and there's Dispatch getting shut right off.
And Adorned Barcha. We just turned off 2 movement cards.
Okay. Back. All
right, it's going in. We're testing it.
Let's continue past Lion. So Lion, in summary, Lion is a gigantic enigma. A gigantic enigma.
Wrapped in a mystery,
yeah, and
wrapped in a paradox.
They scary, so
correct.
Stay away. In the words of my 3-year-old, they scary. How about the Scorpiones? That's what I wrote.
Really don't have anything going on. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I think we described it before the show as just variations of the same thing with kind of a slight difference on what people put in their dynasty here and there and like their splash cards. Like you're still going to see Crane or Crane or Phoenix. You're going to see the classic good stuff from Crane, which is Voice, Solbjorn Reproach, things like that.
Noble Sacrifice, of course.
Noble Sack, yeah. Like, I think you get the Crane kill deck is a little bit more of still a Crane kill deck. And then on the Phoenix side, it's the Display of Powers and all the just sit back and do nothing.
That's the prevalent right now, right? Is the Keeper of Air Dishonor decks. And it still is.
Yeah, I think that's about all there is. Even our local devotee of Kyuden Bayushi gave up on it, went back to City of the Open Hand.
Yeah, I think there's not enough evidence or play in all the other cute stuff that can go on right now. Like there's some silly stuff with the Unicorn, but like it just doesn't pay off, right? Like there's so many bad matchups in those cases that it just doesn't.
Is there anybody experimenting in KB anymore? That you've seen recently?
I think you can argue that a lot of the decks now could run either Stronghold and almost do the same thing. Like it's like
really?
A meta call. Yeah, because like I think you need to push. It all comes down to if you run 4G Dict, you probably could run KB. But if you're not, I don't think you run KB at all. Like I think if you're doing 4G Dict, you could argue that that's a KB deck, but you have to still kind of like make a call. all that. And then otherwise, just, yes.
Just because it dishonors and they can stand back up and use that as a tool to self-dishonor?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, because like the normal like City of the Open Hand deck I'm seeing doesn't have a lot of like self-dishonor stuff. It's not running like your Peasant's Advice, Court Masks, things like that. So like it wouldn't get a lot of value out of the Stronghold to begin with, unless you're like fire ringing your own people or something.
No, that's true. But I still think you end up getting, like, your stuff still gets dishonored. Like, it just happens naturally. Fire ring is a thing that people do to you.
Is it?
It is.
To Scorpion?
It is. I really think it is.
I know. I know.
Or you get court games. Like, we get court games to death, right? We have so much stuff that has glory.
Yeah.
And we love political conflict. So it's like, hey, cool. I'll just court games you. Because honestly, you're not going to usually win the I'm going to dishonor your dude. Oh, I'll just undishonor him. I'll just dishonor him again game against Scorpion.
That's true.
See, you're describing that second half where you say, oh, I'll just honor him again. It doesn't compute.
Well, no, what I mean is they can just... If you honor your dude, I'm going to have another way to dishonor you.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, sorry, I misunderstood. I was like, I don't know of any clan that can just keep. I'm just going to honor besides Crane.
Yeah.
No, Crane. I guess it must have broke out. No, I mean, I meant dishonor. Like, if you court games me, it's a better value, I think, than you trying to honor your dude.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I always think of it as the other way. I think of when I'm playing, obviously, Crane against Scorpion, all of my honor effects are removing
that's
black tokens.
That's a very different scenario. But yes, you're right in that case. You just want to stay neutral or honored.
Exactly.
As much as possible. I guess as far as other stuff, I don't know. Like, I don't know what everyone's testing, but there's some of the new cards are nice that I think we're going to see. I don't think they're powerhouses, so it's just things for people to be aware of, like the Shameless Gossip, Dairu, I know people have been talking about. Anything that has decent glory. That's neutral, so that's like in the Crane Splash. I think you'll see that. I'm testing running Cloud the Mind again, which is actually quite a challenge. I found there really aren't that many useful Shugenja when you do it all out on your Dynasty side.
Yep, that's rough.
But I there's a lot of cards I want to see more play, but I just don't see how they see play. It's kind of boring still. I hate to say it. Like, Scorpion has really nothing new going on. It's like they've game designed us out of new, like me buying new things. Like, I get the line back going, pretty much don't need to buy that, which is crazy.
But consider, don't be so clan loyal and you'll have fun. It's fun.
Oh, no, I'm not saying I'm not going to play other stuff, but I want to play Scorpion at, like, Worlds, you know what I mean?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah. I built other decks. That's not the point. It's more of like, I am going to play Clan Loyal as far as, like, at events, because I like playing them, but I'll build other decks. It's just, you know, I'm not the type of person that's going to be like, oh, well, I'm only going to play Scorpion because they're good. That's just not what I do.
Yeah, what jerks.
Yeah. Says the guy who hopped off of Dragon when they got nerfed onto Phoenix.
And now he's hopping off Phoenix because they're getting sucky again, apparently.
No, they're not even bad.
I know they're not.
I'm
perceived.
I got the medal.
Uh-huh.
Look, I know what it is. Eric just wants to have every clan's Lux informant
backers.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. And the pack, the that's true. Yeah. Gotta collect
that.
Them all.
I gotta say, it's pretty nice being able to swap using one of them for Fate and one for Honor, and then you switch because you switch your clans, and it's green and orange look pretty okay together, it turns out.
Yeah.
All right, so Scorpion, same old, same old. You have a few noted cards about like the Dynasty becoming a toolbox. Why don't you tell us about what you mean by that?
So I mentioned like Shameless Gossip. Like, she just is, we mentioned before, like the young Romonger, she sort of is the replacement for like, it's more fair, she has to be in the conflict. Dairu can move tokens to him, which is kind of cute. Not totally useful. I've decided over multiple turns, unless you can remove that dishonor, because like he can't basically turns off his effect the next turn if he's still there, and he's a unique character. Ibuki, I really like her. I think she does a ton. She's their disguised character. I think I played her against you, Eric, one time where she comes in on a courtier, and she's a 4-3, I want to say.
4-3, 2 glory.
Yep. Yeah, 4-3, 2 glory, 4 cost.
Yeah, and I haven't put her in the current decks I'm running because I think the argument, and rightly so, was she's usually coming in on a dishonored courtier, and so then she's coming in with like less 2 stats, so unless you can run Crane with Soulbeam Approach and use it on her, it's really not worth it. And then is that like the best target for it? And there's kind of argument there. But I do think she's a really cool character because she's something that we need more of, which is just more bodies for our value. Like, we don't get a ton of return on investment on our characters. Like, if they get bowed or if they don't get to do something, they're just like, they're done. I mean, they usually have decent abilities, but playing a disguised character is nice because you more or less get a free unbow in a new character.
She also has the reaction of, after this character wins a conflict, remove 1 fate from each other participating character, which is not terrible.
Definitely don't wear down the enemies.
Yeah. I don't think I've fired that, though. Ever. Yeah, I guess it'd be kind of cute if you could.
That's a you problem, Adam.
If you could pull characters in more easily in Scorpion, right, without taking Hero away.
Come on. He's right there.
He's so fancy looking.
You would love for people to run him.
It'd be amazing. Yeah, please pull in my dueling towers.
Exactly. That's what I mean. No one's going to run that. But if you could pull in stuff in the Pull of the Fate that was already, things already bowed, then it'd be nice.
Yeah.
There's really nothing that's we have cheaply available to do that I can think of.
Just travel back in time and get Hawk Tattoo. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we got to keep moving. Yeah. So let's keep it moving. We got Phoenix up next. They are kind of split between Seeker of Earth for Earth Becomes Spy, surprise, surprise, and some people hanging on to Seeker of Void because that's a good role still.
Turns out.
Seeker. There's, with the restricted list update, kind of a split between people trying to decide if they want to run Consumed by 5 Fires or the Dynasty to Dhaka or D-Dhaka. D-Dhaka? Old Dhaka? O-Dhaka?
That's what I'm... I keep hearing D-Dhaka. I like that. D-Dhaka and C-Dhaka.
So, yeah. Can you back up and explain like why people are hanging on to Seeker Void?
Because Shameful Display is good, and 5-strength is good. Upholding Authority is bad.
Oh, no. Not Pilgrimage. It's Shameful Display and... I've seen Pilgrimage, too, and Korimori, right?
Yeah, and the other half of it is that a 5-strength Upholding Authority really sucks.
Yes.
Like, it's not awful, but it definitely isn't nearly as good. So, like, Seeker of Earth, right, out of Phoenix, you're playing probably Vassal Fields and Upholding Authority, and that is just not nearly as scary a row as you had for Seeker of Void.
Yeah, Vassal Fields is okay.
Aggressively okay. Yeah.
It's firmly okay. They chose so much mediocre feeling and just put it into that card.
Yeah, I guess so does it become that one is like your opponent sees Seeker Void and then they're like, oh crap, I have to like be cautious about what I do. Whereas it's like Seeker of Earth, it's like I don't have to be as cautious, but I'm not gonna get to probably get as many conflict or I'm not gonna get as many relevant characters into conflicts over the course of the game.
Because of EBS.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. I don't know if it makes more sense to go with EBS. You'd have to talk to a Phoenix player. But to me, it just the value of a really good dynasty or excuse me, really good province row is huge, and it's so reliable. It's always there, and I just value that a lot higher than almost anything you can get from a splash on like the conflict side.
So do you think you're going to see EBS with Consumed? Is Consumed? No, is Consumed locked?
It's RL'd.
It's on the RL. It's a Seeker only. No,
it's Seeker only. That's only. I couldn't remember what it was. If it was Seeker.
So they do have a double Seeker, so they don't care about that.
Yeah. So they could run Consumed, but then they're not running...
Dynasty to Dhaka.
T- Tanaka against Embrace the Void. Yeah.
Right. So Embrace the Void doesn't really make any sense anymore because Consumed and Embraced are on the list. Right. So it's a split between Consumed and Tadaka. And
I actually, there's
no right answer so far. You know, like, it's a split.
I also think that you can see, you might see a deviation because the Dynasty deck or the Conflict deck for Phoenix is extremely expensive. So I bet that people who can't adjust that may actually stay on Embrace the Void to just make it easier to manage that. So they have to put less brain power into that. They can put more into managing their conflicts and things like that. So there may be a worthwhile argument for that if you just are having too many problems managing the fate expenditures that you need to do to make like a consumed deck, which will often have like Conflict Tadaka and Consumed and all this other stuff. Yeah, yeah. It just gets hard to juggle all that stuff so that you have enough money to do the stuff you want to do.
It feels very expensive. You basically have to skip your first turn.
Yeah.
And say, like, I'm not going to buy anything expensive.
So you just need to display a power.
And you display a power, and then
but
you...
But, like, even display a power, that's, like, two whole fate that you were trying to save, you know?
Yeah, that's a little rough.
Yeah, so...
And then you generally want to, like, throw down an Ancient Master to get favor, and then now you're spending more.
Yeah, but... Don't you end up seeing like something where it's like I put out some rando chud and like any other Shigenja, and at least if you have,
well, I guess you don't want to do Supernatural Storm early. You want to hold on to that still.
You do not.
Yeah, yeah. You want to build up the board.
Yeah.
To your 3 or 4 skill swing, and yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting because then if they hit your Pilgrimage on Secret Void, though, it's like, oh, cool. I don't have anything out there. Now I just lose like one of my key provinces for Shameful Display. Right?
It's, yeah, it feels bad.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I guess I need to play against it more. Both of them.
But you got your Seeker Fate.
Exactly.
So if you remembered the trigger, which I'm doing more now lately, it feels good.
It's good.
Crane.
Yeah, Crane are kind of up in the air.
The worst.
Yeah, they're the worst.
Yes. So for a while, same thing that we saw with Unicorn, where pacifism has kind of come in because fewer people were running like reliable attachment hate. A lot of Crane ended up going onto Unicorn Splash for a while, because if you need less attachment hate, or if you have stuff like Esteemed Tea House that you can use for kind of like less effective but still good enough attachment hate, then you can make it work even without Let Go. But like specifically the threat of pacifism is forcing a lot of Crane players to go, you know what, we just have to go back to Let Go, Dragon Splash, and then fill out the remaining influence somehow. I don't know. You know, you throw in like either 3 Ancient Masters if you want to go like the Censure, Yoshi, Ryoku, Favor route, or you can throw in like Indomitable Will has been getting popular. People like being able to unbow.
What?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it makes sense, but I just never heard of anybody splashing that card.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Indomitable Will.
I feel like I see that card all the time.
Wanderer. Like, yeah.
Tattooed Wanderer, sure. I've never seen anybody splash Indomitable.
Yeah, it makes more sense for Crane now because we're getting super towery. So if you just like win a conflict with your solo guy, now Toshimoko's still standing. Get wrecked.
So I get to see more people forget that there has to only be one person in the conflict, and that they just put like, you know, a stupid conflict character in at the last second and had been planning on it the whole time, and they go
then they go to play it and you go
right, and it sounds that me, because it's me, it's just what I do.
Well, just don't play Crane, you're fine.
Don't play Crane who's splashing Dragon. It's, never mind. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, so
and most people I think are playing Seeker Void. There are some people who are playing Keeper of Air, either for the more influence, because having 9 influence on Kyuden Kikita really stinks, or for Sylveon Reproach, because Mark of Shame also really stinks, and like the Scorpion matchup is incredibly difficult right now. So
yeah, I was gonna say, is that like your hardest matchups? I think
for sure. I would say so. Everything else we've at least got like game in, but like the Scorpion feels like a 30-70 matchup most of the time. Like you just have to like absolutely high roll them and pressure them off the board almost immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I feel the most comfortable against Phoenix. I think you and I play the most. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know if that's just because we play the most or if like, I think Scorpion just has the right tools right now while we have.
Yeah. I mean, like all my guys have two glory. That really stinks.
Yeah.
Until you duel somebody and or play a card and it just honors things because it's blue.
Yeah, but then that just makes you neutral because if you honor up, you're just asking to give them full value on their mark of shame. And
oh, there it is. There's oh,
sorry.
My favorite is waiting for you to just do that and just say nope.
God.
It's like, and then I wait for you to like just die from a noble sack or something like that, or like an I can swim. Those are my favorite moments.
It's pretty great.
On that note, on the nope note, I want to make a public service announcement.
All right.
To people who get too excited with their cancels.
Mm.
Yeah. Please don't do that. It is, it's a not great feeling thing. When your opponent is like, no, it canceled.
Oh, like, I thought you were going to like counsel people to not like play them too quickly. You know, save them.
No.
Like that.
No. Wait, play them poorly. Whatever.
He doesn't want the pizzazz in your face card throw that like
people like flick it at
across
you.
The table.
Yeah. They're like, oh my God, I was holding it and like holding my breath for 5 minutes waiting for you to play that card.
Isn't it almost worse though when they're like, yeah, sure, cancel.
No, I find that fine. Like, and I don't know. That's my particular style of cancel is brief pause, consider, I'm going to cancel that. Like, and I feel like everyone should be more like me because I'm a giant narcissist. So that's
fair. See, no, my style is I was definitely expecting that play. Therefore, I cancel it immediately without even thinking. Mwahaha.
It's like you are it's like when you got the forged edict and I'm not even running forged edict. Those are my favorite moments.
Hey,
your big brain plays over there.
It's still the right call. Gossip isn't about the cards that you actually hit with it. It's about the cards you no longer have to play around with it. Anyway, I have lots of theories on how to play gossip. 3x forever. That's how.
It's all right. I'm gonna turn it off. I'm just gonna play that those who serve every turn. You're never gonna play your gossip ever again.
Each player gets to play a limited card. You can't
stop. That's not how limited works. Gossip.
Yeah. It's not how rules
go. I'm changing the rules. You didn't hear?
It's the new Imperial Law.
Tyler is gonna just change the rules for us. Yes, exactly.
He's gonna start playing. He's going to switch to Crane to play your unique character so they can't exist on your side of the board.
That was a rule in the old game. It was awful. Anyway. They fixed it, but still.
We've gone off the deep end.
I think that we're done here.
Yep. I'd say that's it.
We're making up here, new Eric? Rules.
Oh, well, no, actually, first, we're not done here because before that, let's pick three cards.
God.
We're doing it. No, we're doing it. Adam, quick.
No, I want to read you up the outro so we can just go.
Just a minute. Adam, I'm going to read you some flavor text. See if you can guess what card it is.
It was fun. You guys did that last time.
It's a game we're playing. Here's one. I think this is easy.
I'm going to close my eyes and you know, hone in my L5R senses here.
All right, here we go. The sea's embrace is cold and sharp.
Oh my God.
The hell is that?
Really?
Wait, say it again. The sea's embrace is cold and sharp. I think I know, actually.
The sea's embrace is cold and sharp.
Oh, is it the mantis neutral dude? No.
All the mantis dudes are neutral.
Well, I know. The guy that's on the boat and he's got like the sails. I mean, it's not hard to.
They're all on boats.
I know, but I can picture the dude. He's got a red hat. That's probably not him.
It's a fishy card.
It's a fishy card.
Oh my God.
The fish boys, I don't even know their real names anymore.
Oh, God.
Yes. Yeah, fish boys.
Feral Mingo.
No.
Yeah, there you go. That's their real name. Who's called them that in years?
I want to get a proxy, like a reprint of this. This just says Fish Boy at the top.
Then you could put six in your deck because you could do three Feral Ningyo and three Fish Boy.
It would be legal, except I'm
perfectly fine.
All right.
That's actually surprising description or flavor text for them.
Thank you.
But anyways.
It was a compliment to me, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know how that is a compliment.
Yeah, no, that flavor text doesn't at all describe what I would say as a character that's played for my conflict that has that description. But anyway, right. Next.
Next one. A samurai must always be ready, ready to fight, and ready, if need be, to die.
Neaton Master. I don't know.
No, incorrect.
What?
Do you know this one?
No, it's either like Noble Sack or Heroic Resolve. Those are my two guesses.
Both wrong. I would say it's a neutral card.
God damn.
It's a corset card.
What? Say it again.
Is this one of those times where it's like Good Omen or something stupid again?
Yes. Say it again. Samurais must always be ready to die. Good Omen.
Yeah.
A samurai must always be
good ready. Good Omen?
Oh no, it's God. Not. No. Ready to fight and ready, if need be, to die. It's a one cost.
It's route.
Not charge.
It's charge. It's charge.
Charge?
Wow. Yep.
God, that card has flavor text on it.
I didn't realize that flavor text either.
The more you know.
All right, here's a ridiculously hard one.
Oh God.
I remember.
Kaede. No, Tatori.
Nope. Clan though.
Yeah, it's a phoenix. No, it's a lion card.
It's a lion card.
Death Seeker.
No, it would probably be like Spirit Caller.
Yeah,
something like that. Like one of the Akoma or Kitsu.
It's an Akoma. It's one of the big ones.
Is that Ujiaki?
It's Ujiaki.
Wow!
Yeah. Wow! All I needed was for you to give me like 8 hints.
Yes. Well,
it's
to
the
be fair,
biggest Akoma.
That flavor text has literally like no hints.
The only reason I thought Tatori is because he died, but he didn't die.
He remembered.
He remembered.
Yeah, but the Akoma are historians, so like that actually.
Oh, that's
sense.
True. Yeah.
See, we all learned something today, except for Nick. Oh no, Nick learned that charge has flavor text.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well. Samurai seldom knows peasants. Peasants are samurai sometimes.
Yes, perfect. Okay. Nails the dismount.
Fish are always peasants. Fish boys,
Nick,
sometimes.
I have, according to you, nailed the dismount
Fish are somewhat outside the celestial order. It's complicated.
Fish boys are sharp and wet and slimy.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Meek Informant. You can find us on the web at www.facebook.com/TheMeekInformant and can subscribe to our podcast through Google's podcast app, Apple's podcast app via iTunes or Podbean at themeekinformant.podbean.com/feed.xml. Want to continue the conversation about today's topic or any of our other content? We can be reached via our Facebook page or email themeekinformant@gmail.com. We also have a Twitter account @meekinformant. Our YouTube or Twitch accounts can also be found by searching for The Meek Informant. If you would like to help others find us, please consider writing a review on iTunes or wherever you subscribe to our show. Thanks for listening, and remember, samurai seldom notice peasants. Peasants always notice samurai.